Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast.
Ground control to Major Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Ben, we have a problem.
You're right, mate.
I mean, you're giving me nothing back. Nothing.
What's going on?
We're recording this on Monday, and I've been excited all morning because it was going to be the big rocket launch, and then it was delayed, and I thought the launch could happen while we're recording and we could do a live sort of update and response to the launch. And I've just literally, a couple of minutes before I came to you, Ben, NASA have cancelled it.
Ben, we have a problem.
I think it's cards on the table time for my half of this conversation.
Oh, here we go.
Until about, I don't know, 120 seconds ago, before we started recording, and I said, what is it you want to talk about today? Mm. You said, oh, the rocket launch. That was the first I heard that there was a rocket launch going on.
I mean, do you listen to any news?
I listen to a lot.
I don't know what you do. This is like a massive rocket. This is Artemis 1, Ben.
Okay. It sounds like a phone that Alan Sugar might have sold in the 90s, the Artemis 1.
The Artemis 1 is the most powerful rocket NASA have ever made. And this was the unmanned launch of the new rocket that's going to take man and woman back to the moon.
So you say it's unmanned, though. So
this is an unmanned test. This is the first time it was going to go up, so it's unmanned, and it's going to go around the moon and come back. So this is the first test. Then there'll be a manned test, and then ultimately we're going to send, I think the next person to set foot on the moon is going to be a woman.
Right.
So we're going to send woman and man back to the moon. And it's, I'm so excited about it, Ben.
A couple of things. Firstly, excuse my ignorance. Has a woman ever been to the moon before?
No.
Like, landed on the moon? I know Helen Sharman was the first woman in space.
Yes. No.
So this will be the first woman on the moon. That's quite big.
Yes, because I think only, 12 men have set foot on the moon between 1969 and 1972. So woman has never been to the moon. And I think I'm right in saying that the next person to step foot on the moon will be a woman.
Okay, well, that's great. Not for me to, you know, split hairs or pick holes with NASA, of all people. Mm. But I do wonder if this is a test.
Yes.
To set, you know, if the end goal is to put a man or person or woman or however individuals should identify themselves these days,
yes,
on the moon, and they're testing this by sending an unmanned, unpersoned rocket to the moon, not landing on it, flying around it, then that seems like maybe they're not testing the right things. Maybe you need to test it with people and landing on it.
Oh, hang on, Ben. I'm just going to phone NASA and let them know that Ben's come up with a better plan.
We're not trying to loop the moon, are we? We're trying to land people on it.
So no, we need to prove that we can get there first. I mean, they
didn't. Did we prove that 50 years ago?
Yes, the Apollo missions had to test before they sent man, didn't they? I mean, yeah, you know, they've got a. I think they were manned. I don't know if an unmanned spaceship went around the moon originally in the Apollo, but we sent people up and around the moon without landing
again,
to come back.
Not to sound petulant, but once you've already done the testing in the 60s and you've landed the people on the moon, then why is it in 2022, you know, 50 plus years later, or 60 plus years later, why are we still back to the testing stage? Surely we can go off the homework of the previous people, can't we?
I mean, I don't want to belittle you.
I'm just saying, it just seems like a backward step for NASA, that's all. One backward step for mankind. We're back to testing.
I'm just saying that you said it's 60 years plus since we had ours went to the... Your maths doesn't prove that you're going to be an asset to NASA should they require you for this mission. I mean, they've got to test the new equipment and the new technology, haven't they? They've got to test it. You can't just say... I mean, what would happen if they just went, all right, we've never tested this rocket in flight before. It's the most powerful we've ever made, so we need to test it. Then we're going to send it to the moon, just prove everything works. Imagine if we'd sent it out without testing and then someone gets blown up or gets stuck on the dark side of the moon. I mean, then they say, oh, why didn't you test it? I mean,
surely with all the scientific knowledge we've got, we pretty much know how it will react in space, don't we?
You've got to test these things, mate. this is, I mean, this is coming from a man who never reads instructions. He's, oh, I'll just work it out as we go. This is space travel, Ben. It's not an Xbox.
But well, hang on, you were just calling me stupid and ignorant because of my, you know, quick maths in my head, which I hadn't sat and worked out. I thought for the podcast sake, I'll just say 60 years.
Just make
but,
it up.
But you're the one who just shouted the expression dark side of the moon, which I think is a complete misnomer, is it not?
The dark side of the moon, Ben.
There is no such thing as the dark side of the moon. We have, by definition, the most patient listeners in the world. So if you just want to take a second and Google for yourself, is there a dark side of the moon? And then just tell me what Google suggests to you. Okay. And then you can carry on laughing at me for my snap dash maths.
Okay, I'm just going to look it up. Is there a dark side of the moon? The dark side of the moon refers to the hemisphere of the moon that is facing away from the Earth. In reality, it is no darker than any other part of the moon's surface, as sunlight does in fact fall equally on all sides of the moon. You're absolutely right, Ben, and I apologise for putting myself into such a dreadful situation where I've
spreading your
shamed
space
myself.
Myths.
Well, this is the one thing I want to find out when we go back to the moon. I want them to take a picture of the original moon landing. I don't know if that's in the plan, but they should, to shut all the conspiracy theorists up.
That would explain, if there's a lot of space action going on at the moment, that would explain why my TikTok feed, yes, I'm a man in my mid-30s watching TikTok, I don't care, that would explain why my feed is being slowly taken over by lots of moon-based conspiracy theories at the moment.
Are they all out in their masses again?
Yeah, very lazy stuff. Things that I'm sure have been debunked time and time again, like things about shadows and flags waving.
Oh,
something to do
Christ.
With the footprint, which did look curious, like there was the base of the guy's space boot was ridged and the footprints were flat, which is not one I think I heard of before. I also saw some
sorry,
videos.
I've not heard this one before. So what's this, the footprint?
It's either that the moon boot sort of sole or the base of the shoe was sort of either flat or ridged, and that is doesn't marry up with the picture of the footprint on the moon. If the boots are ridged, then the footprint should be ridged, or vice versa, something right. like that. And then there's some other video of someone harassing, who I think might be Buzz Aldrin, getting him to insisting that he should swear on the Bible that he went to the moon.
Is this when Buzz Aldrin punches him?
No, that's a different fella.
That's brilliant. I think anyone that comes up to any astronaut that landed on the moon, there's not many of them left, I don't think now, but anyone that goes up and goes, you know, just punch them. I think they should be sort of freed of any legal responsibility. You just go, no, I landed on the moon, mate. Fair enough. Punch away.
This I have seen that. It's fantastic. But this one was someone harassing an astronaut. I'm not entirely sure it was Buzz Aldrin, but basically saying, well, swear on the Bible that you went there. And then he can't be bothered to put up with this idiot. So,
of course not.
And it was, well, you're not doing it. So maybe you didn't go after all because you won't swear on the Bible, will you? And you just thought, well, maybe he doesn't want to entertain you toddler. Give you a time of day. Doesn't mean he didn't go.
But I think now's a great time when we go back to the moon. I mean, I don't know what the plan is, where we're going to land. It may not be anywhere near the original landing site because they might want to go and investigate other areas of the moon. But I think whilst we're going back, let's just do it. But then the conspiracy theorists won't believe that either, will they? Because they're just so stuck in, they'll just go, well, we faked the new pictures. Basically, we've recreated the moon landing site. We've taken more photos. So we're never going to convince those people, are they? They're so wrapped up in their own conspiracies.
No, the one thing I would say to any conspiracy theorist to sort of shut them up, not that you can ever really shut them up because they'll always think they know better, is that who would be the biggest people in the world who would want to debunk that the Americans got to the moon before them? Who would that be?
The Russians.
Now, did the Russians kick off when the Americans beat them to it? They probably weren't happy about it, but did they suggest foul play?
Well, I don't think so. And
they didn't.
From the stuff I watched for the 50th anniversary, they showed lots of images of people of all around the world. And people in Russia were still delighted that mankind had done it. I mean, it's part of my slight issue. And I understand that at the time it was the space race was on between the USA and Russia, right? So I understand why they did it. I hope this time they don't. I don't think that it should be an American flag that was put on the moon. It was done for mankind. We should have had a different flag. I don't know. Ooh. I understand why they did it, but this time there should be like some sort of global flag they put up.
I was going to say, do we have a planet Earth flag?
I don't think we do. We should create one to take. I think there could be a new competition. Let's launch it right now, Ben, a new competition to design the Earth. But no, I don't think. There's probably not an Earth flag. You see, I don't know.
But that's probably for very good reason. Other than landing on the moon, when on Earth would we ever need to break out the planet flag?
Well, maybe when we all finally decide to act as one, Ben, and live in peace and harmony with each other. Still have your national identities, but let's have a global flag. I suppose the closest we've got is the Olympic flag.
I think some of the bigots in this country who aren't happy being members of Europe, they're not going to be very happy being described as members of Earth either.
Well,
it's England or nothing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if we weren't aligned to a political global, because that's what people are worried about. Let's not make this political. Let's just say this is for mankind.
There'll be a campaign to leave the planet. We'll have to call it Plangsit or something.
Leave the moon.
Moonsit.
wasn't that a child of some famous pop star? Frank Zappa's kid. no, but I think we could do with that, because I think if you take, I mean, I understand in the 60s it was very politically motivated, so I kind of get it, but it does always slightly annoy me that they stuck an American flag in it, and you think, well, you did this for mankind, because there were people all around the world celebrating this, including Russians, that we'd done it, and man did go to the moon. And I think this time there should be no planting of one national flag. Or just plant all the flags. There's enough for them up there. Just put all the flags of all the nations on there.
That would take some time.
Well, we're going to stay for a while, aren't we, I think?
So speaking of this current launch, it's been cancelled, is it?
It's been cancelled for today.
Okay, where was it supposed to blast off from?
In Florida. Cape Kennedy.
Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral, yes, Cape Kennedy. From the, I think it was even going from the original, from the same launch pad that Apollo 11 launched from.
What was the doomed one? 13, wasn't it?
13 went, it was supposed to land on the moon, didn't, but they brought that back.
Right. Maybe that actually strengthens your argument for further testing. I mean, if Apollo 11 got to the moon and Apollo 13 blew up trying to get off the launch pad, then maybe... Maybe that does.
You've got to test, Ben. It's a sort of. I just think it's very important that these things are tested. I think it would be foolhardy to just go, well, we've not tested. Because part of the problem they found today is something they've not been able to test before, because they've not been in launch ready mode.
What was the problem? What was the delay?
It's something to do with one of the engines not cooling quickly enough or something.
Okay.
So it's cancelled for today. I'm assuming that it might go tomorrow now. I'm just very excited, but I love watching a launch. I think there's nothing more exciting than a launch, because there's so much jeopardy involved. It's basically a huge bomb that you've got.
I must say, I wouldn't be happy with that. You know, if I was, I know you're saying it's unmanned, but if I was on, you know, due to blast off on it today, and they said, dodgy engine, probably go tomorrow. I think, no rush. Let's make sure it's fixed before we launch this thing full of fuel.
Well, when I say tomorrow, I mean, they're not just going, we'll do it tomorrow. So I would imagine it's a much more intense affair, that they look at numbers, they look at criteria for launch. It's not just, we'll do it tomorrow.
And if it is all successful, when would the hope be to send the latest person to the moon?
I think 2024 is the proposed year for putting man back on the moon. I think there'll be manned flights to and around the moon and back before that.
At risk of being cancelled, are you still allowed to say, we're trying to establish it's a woman who will be setting foot on the moon, but we keep saying sending man to the moon.
So yes, it's really difficult
to say mankind.
I think I think we have to say humanity, the humans, the next humans to go to the moon. Because yes,
it'll be cancelled, mate.
It's kind of that weird thing, because you say to send man to the moon, and we're going to be sending a woman to the moon. And so yeah, we're going to have to get that out of my head, because that makes me sound very dated, doesn't it? I suddenly realised it's like, oh, Trev, you're a dinosaur, mate.
It's acceptable when you mean mankind, though.
Yeah, but would that be a thing now? You can't say.
Oh, I don't know. I can't keep up with it, to be honest.
Like, what's the acceptable phrase for humankind? Perhaps that's it, just humankind. The next person to represent humankind on the moon will be a woman.
And what's the point? Why are we? Is there something specific they want to find out, or is it just to do it again for the sake of it?
I mean, obviously, I think there'll be new scientific experiments that will take place while we're there to find out a little bit more about the moon. But I think part of the idea is that we start to create a kind of service station. There'll be a little happy chef there. So that if we're going to send people to Mars, there'd almost be like a little stopping point on the way.
Isn't it Little Chef?
What did I say? Happy Chef.
Happy Chef.
Isn't there a Happy Chef? It is Little Chef, isn't
it? I'm not even sure Little Chef still exists anymore.
Didn't Heston Blumenthal buy Little Chef? Or didn't he get involved in Little Chef?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Like he was, I don't know, they were probably like serving tyres marinated in, I don't know, creme de menthe.
In my mind, Little Chef is one of those things that only exists as a service station.
I think this is, yeah, no, it's, that's right. It's not in a high street. You never go out on a Saturday night and go, shall we go Little Chef? Shall we? No. You wouldn't do that unless you're sort of into just driving around the M25 and stopping. I was chatting to someone recently. I think there is still a Little Chef somewhere because they said, oh, they still see one, but I don't think there's many left. What's Happy Chef? I'm sure I've heard of Happy Chef.
I think Happy Chef is a creation of your own mind. I think I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't
mind you, I was surprised to learn Wimpy still exists in some places.
Well, Wimpy, well, again, we were, I mean, again, perhaps they'll put a Wimpy on them. It's more likely going to be a McDonald's, though, isn't it? Let's face it, the kind of corporate power they hold. Like, you're going to put a little, I mean, I'm not saying they are going to put a little sort of fast food outlet on the moon. I don't think that's going to happen. But if it did, it's bound to be a McDonald's, isn't it? Yeah, Wimpy, I think there's still a Wimpy near me, or there always has been. I don't know if it's still there, but it was there certainly a couple of years ago. I walked past it and it was still going. And I'm sure, you know, there was no one in it, but it's still there. I always preferred Wimpy as a kid. I got to go once a year to a Wimpy. And do you know why I enjoyed a Wimpy more than I did a McDonald's?
Was it because someone had to remortgage a house for you to buy your lunch?
Was it expensive?
It's astronomically expensive.
Well, I just like the idea then. I mean, this is back in the 80s and 90s, Ben. I'm assuming maybe things are different now. But you couldn't seem to get a ketchup-free burger at McDonald's, whereas Wimpy, you could go in and go, I don't want any gherkins, I don't want any mustard, I don't want any ketchup, I just want a burger in a bun, nothing else. And they go, fine.
I'm fairly certain you could go into any fast food place now and say, no ketchup, please, and they would happily oblige.
I think they would now, but I'm sure in the 80s that wasn't a thing. It was just like, it was all pre-made, it was all just like on a shelf, and that's why I would prefer the Wimpy.
Fair enough.
But anyway.
Very retro conversation, isn't it? Hey, anyone else remember the Wimpy and Little Chef? Here is this.
Have you ever been to a Little Chef? Was there any point? I don't think I ever stepped foot in a Little Chef.
I can't say that I remember ever having been to one, but there is a possibility as a toddler once, you know, someone's low on petrol, we have to get off the A25 or whatever. Yeah, there's a possibility we stopped at a service station once, but no.
We were never a fan. We'd stop at a service station, but just to go to the loo. We'd never stop for a meal there. Always have a packed lunch. We were never a family that would do the let's have a meal. I think maybe once we did, but yeah, it's a packed lunch, cheese sandwich.
I tell you, another
in a
reason,
car park, you can beat it. Flask of coffee.
I think I hold Wimpy in quite low regard. Is that my gran, bless her? She always was a little bit off the mark or a bit confused with certain things. So she'd always sort of say to us, oh, do you want to come for a McDonald's? And you'd think, great, we're getting a McDonald's. And then she'd take us to a Wimpy. And you'd think, well, you did say McDonald's, you know.
Oh.
I was in the... And to her, it was synonymous. It was just the same thing.
Well, it was really, wasn't it? I mean, apart from you could have the ketchup. I mean, was there any difference in the taste?
Is there a difference between McDonald's and Wimpy? Yeah, of course there is. And then
burger and chips, it can't be that different.
No, well, no, there obviously is a difference, especially when you're a kid who loves McDonald's and you get told we're going for McDonald's and you're a Wimpy. The next time you go around there, she's asking you if you'd like a pizza. I thought, what the hell are you talking about? About 10 minutes later, you discover she means pizza.
No, that's a good, I love that people call it pizza. I mean, that might be the more Italian way of saying it. Would you like a pizza? might be the proper way, whereas we just anglicise it, pizza, can't be bothered to even put any sort of accent on it, just pizza. Might be pizza, might be the right the way to say it.
Maybe.
Would you like a pizza pizza?
Maybe I've been doing her a grave disservice. She's a great woman of culture.
I've never understood what a pizza part. We've gone way off subject now, by the way.
Oh, we were talking about a space launch a minute ago. Now we're
Oh my god, I've got a great way to link this back. Oh, honestly, this is going to be one of the best. Like, if I was on the radio, what I'm about to do would probably have won a Sony or whatever they're called now.
I don't think they have the Sonys anymore.
No, whatever it's called now, right? What I'm about to do is going to be gold, right? So I want you to go with it.
Okay.
Do you know what a pizza pie is? Like, what's a pizza pie?
What's a pizza pie?
You know, like, you hear about a pizza pie, the Americans go, pizza pie, we're going to have a pizza pie. Thank you, we're going to have a pizza pie.
If you want the answer you weren't expecting, a pizza pie is a tautology, because pizza means pie in Italian.
Does it?
So to say pizza pie, you're saying pie pie.
It's not a pie, though, is it?
It's a tautology.
It's not a pie.
It's a waste of words, is what it is. It's like people who say ATM machine. What do you think the M stands for, you dickhead?
But, I mean, it's not a pie, is it?
I'm just telling you what the literal definition of it is in Italian. Wow. Pizza means pie.
But, I mean...
Sorry, I feel like I've ruined your great link.
No, it's all right, I can bring it back. Do you know the Dean Martin song, That's Amore?
Yeah.
He's got that line, he goes, when the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore. Brings us back to the moon, Ben.
Excellent. Well done.
What? Come on. And the winner for most creative link of the year.
And most tortuous podcast.
Yeah. The reason why he was sacked awards. So I think we're going back to the moon to make it a stopping base, Ben, so we can then go on to Mars. I don't think man could ever go further than Mars. I think that's going to be the limit for mankind.
Do you think so?
Well, you know, I think we've got this whole idea that in maybe, you know, millions of years down the line, we'll be able to go elsewhere. But I don't see us getting further than Mars.
Well, and wouldn't that involve travelling faster than the speed of light? The amount of years it would take to go further than Mars would be impractical, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be humanly possible.
Certainly not in one lifetime. I mean, if we got to the point where we're going to have to flee this solar system in the years, in billions of, what is it, 13 billion years time when the sun finally dies. If mankind won't be alive then anyway, but let's say mankind has survived.
The sun finally dies. You sound like you're waiting on an inheritance.
Oh, I've been waiting for years, Ben. Come
on. Why would it
die? Why would it burn out? Come on. Come on. Jesus. When the sun finally dies, Ben, the Earth will no longer be able to sustain life. Well, the Earth will be engulfed by the expanding sun anyway. Yeah. If we're thinking of the survival of mankind, we're going to have to go to another solar system where there might be another planet. We're going to have to find the planet that could sustain life and travel to it. And it's going to be one of those things where you're going to have lifeboats of ships taking, you know, we're not going to be able to take everyone, Ben. It'll have to be some, I don't know how they'll, I mean, unfortunately, it'll be the rich and powerful that get to go. So you wouldn't necessarily want to be part of this new thing anyway, would you?
Well, I think we've had this conversation before, you know, years and years ago, where you said to me, if you were to go to a brand new planet, what would be the one thing you'd take?
Mm.
And I think my answer was either a knife or a gun, because I'd want to sort of become king and take over the place. And you were very scathing about that. But I think when you talk about the rich and famous getting priority,
mm,
just because they're rich and famous, well, I think, what's the great equalizer? My gun. So when it comes down to, you know, pointing the gun at the guy who's going to fly the spaceship, and he can take Tom Cruise or he can take Mr. Gun, then I think he'll find that he'll take Mr. Gun.
Why are you pointing it at the man who's flying the spaceship? Surely,
because he's going to let me or Tom Cruise onto the ship. And when it comes down to
right,
it, all the money Tom Cruise has got isn't anything compared to my gun.
Yeah, but, I mean, remember the sort of people that are going to be on this thing, and you'd be taken out within seconds, Ben. I don't think you would survive. You see, the moment you produce a gun, you're going to be done for. Because think of it, all the, you know, all the rich and powerful will be there. You know, Donald Trump, he would have found a way to live forever, and you'd just have you taken out, Ben. think of the lying and the cheating and the devious manoeuvres that would be taking place for power. And it's just you with a tummy gun. It's not going to get you anywhere, is it?
I should say, I don't know why I picked on Tom Cruise of all the celebrities. I do live quite close to the headquarters for the Church of Scientology. So for the record, I have nothing against Tom Cruise. I want to make it clear I have no interest in making an attempt on his life in the event we all have to go to the moon.
Well, we won't all be going to the moon. Well, we might or stop Mars. Off there. But again, Mars, we're going to have to...
We're going to have to stop off there. We've got to go to the Little Chef on the moon to top up on the way.
And have a pizza pie. We'd have to go there, have a pizza pie. No, but what I'm saying is there'll be lifeboats, but it'll be, as you say, it'll take, I don't know, it might even be like thousands of years, maybe even millions of years to get to an inhabitable space. And so the spaceships themselves will become almost little planets because there'll be the whole life cycles going on. There'll have to be, you know, procreation, there'll have to be births, deaths, marriages. You know, I don't know, maybe marriage is a weird thing of the past there. Maybe it'll just be a free-for-all. But the point is there'll have to be procreation so mankind will survive. Then when it eventually reaches the new planet, then it'll be several generations down the line.
To be honest, mate, I don't think I can be bothered with this. I mean... Honestly, I find the clocks going back stressful enough. The idea of me having to work out and navigate travel to another planet in a distant, you know, Milky Way or some shit. Fuck it, I can't be bothered. Just beam me up. I'll just slither off the Earth now, and I'll meet you at the Little Chef in the sky one day, and we'll be good.
I'm not saying that you're going to have to navigate it. There'll be people that would oversee that. But the question is whether you would get on one of the lifeboats.
No.
And I doubt that the likes of you or I would make that lifeboat. We would be left to just the fate of the exploding sun or whatever is going to happen to the sun when it finally pops
and
its clogs.
How many trillions of years away?
Well, I think it's 13 billion. So,
13. I think I'm good. I'm all right. I'll be good.
Now, Ben, we were just talking about the end of the Earth.
Yeah.
And I know often when people start talking about their dreams, it can be quite dull. You know, people go, oh, I had this dream last night. Oh, really? Yeah, let's hear it. But I do want to tell you about a dream I had this week.
So you've acknowledged that it's incredibly boring conversation.
But this one's great.
Okay, let's do it. Buckle up, listeners.
Because I dreamt the world was ending.
Right, okay.
So I dreamt that the world was coming to an end. It was on all the news, they were saying. And the thing was, the scientists didn't know exactly what was happening. They couldn't explain. Something was happening with the Earth. They knew that this was going to be the end of the Earth, but they didn't know exactly what. They thought the Earth might be torn in two, the way it was beginning to rotate and the pressures on either side of the Earth. There was something very odd going on with the Earth, Ben. It was going to end.
Right. So do we know, did you find out what the cause was?
Well, no. I just want to tell you how the dream progressed, because then it started to get a little bit surreal.
Okay.
So I knew that the world was coming to an end, and I was quite rightly terrified, I suppose, although there's not much you can do.
Armageddon, not surreal enough. Your brain decided to kick in.
So I'm then in a hotel room. Well, I'm assuming it was a hotel room. Maybe I lived by the sea, but I'm in a hotel room by the sea. I'm looking out. There's a lovely beach. There are two huge conga lines that have kicked off on the beach. It's almost like people, like, because there's parties on the beach, but there's two massive conga lines. And when I say massive conga lines, it wasn't just one line. There was like two groups of multiple lines doing congas on the beach.
Were they rivaling messages?
No, it just seemed like people were just like, the world's going to end, might as well just do a conga. There's nothing else we can do. Let's do the conga.
Let's go out with a bang.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to go and join them. So I'm in my little room looking out all this. Now, this is where it gets a little bit weirder as well. I think you were there. I think you were in the room with me. So was my best mate from school. He was there. I seemed to be married, but I didn't know who to. I didn't recognise her. She must have been some figment of my imagination that I concocted. And then bizarrely, the weirdest person in the room with us was the comic actor Asim Chowdhury.
Okay, that's a bit left field. Why? Yeah.
Well, if people don't know who he is, by the way, he played a character called Chabuddy G in People Just Do Nothing. He's been on Taskmaster. But the weird thing was, and I think this was because of the Chabuddy G character in my head, he was terrified of the window shattering and hurting us. So from his pocket, he pulled out, like it was like he was some sort of double glazing salesman or window salesman, because he pulled out like this sheet of protective stuff, sort of like a plasticky kind of stuff. He said, "We'll put this over the windows." And I thought, well, the world's ending.
Yeah, I was going to put you up on that. Yeah.
What's going to happen if the windows shatter? Like, that's not going to help us. But it seemed like a good idea. So I was going, yeah, put him up. Then I heard, they were coming towards the end of the dream now, that I heard a huge noise outside. So I looked outside again. There was a...
World's biggest conga line disaster.
No, there was a massive, like a massive fighter jet in the air, fighter jet. And as it turned, basically the world, the sky was collapsing. There was all this ash and fire falling from the sky. And I thought, well, this is clearly it. This is the end. And I woke up. So that must have been the end of the world.
Right, and it had, you know, anything on your mind at the moment which has been, you know?
I don't know. I think it's quite a common dream. People dream of the apocalypse and that sort of thing. But this seemed very, like, what I didn't tell you was this was sort of two dreams. I woke up at the end of sort of part one. It was like there was an ad break. And right. I woke up terrified because it felt so real. And then I've never been able to do this before. It was almost like that lucid dream thing. Is it the lucid dream that where you decide you want to, or is that where you decide where you want the dream to go?
Lucid dreaming is when you are aware of the fact that you're dreaming whilst you're dreaming. So you can basically take control of the dream and do what you want. Yeah.
No, I've
tried it before. I did it once by accident, but it's hard to do.
Well, it wasn't that, but I made the conscious decision as I thought, I want to get back to sleep because I want to find out what happens. And I went back to the dream. That doesn't always happen, does it? You dream something else completely different, but it was like in two parts, Ben.
So I'm just trying to look up some, you know, possible interpretations.
I mean, is there anything about conga lines? If you dream of conga, I wonder what that means.
I haven't started with conga lines. I've started with breaking glass.
Okay, breaking glass, yeah.
Dreams about broken glass. This dream could also mean that you're currently struggling due to lack of control of your life. All your decisions and actions could be influenced by others. In this case, this is a positive dream.
Is it?
Positive. It gives you a sign to take responsibility for your own life.
I've never really felt in control of my life. I almost feel like my whole life has been like a Spitfire that's been shot down. That's sort of how I've always felt my life's been. I'm just sort of on that constant nosedive, just waiting to hit the sea.
Another quick search here says Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
To dream of Armageddon may reflect a struggle between good and bad intentions in your waking life. Ooh. That feels on an emotional level to be of epic proportions. Feeling that all you have worked for is at risk of being lost to negative intentions or bad people forever. Feeling that you are emotionally at war with terrible people in an epic struggle of moral strength. So basically you feel like you're out of control.
Yeah.
And you're a struggle to know whether to act nicely or terribly. And finally, I'm just going to try this.
Yeah.
I'll be flabbergasted, but I'm going to try conga line.
That whole thing about sort of a battle against morals, I suppose in a way that's sort of how I see the world, in that there's a lot of bad people, and good, like people always say, good prevails, but I genuinely don't see that in life, Ben. I think the bad people, they're the ones with the power, they seem to always prevail. You know, good prevails in little pockets, that's for sure, but overall I'm not sure that good prevails.
So it seems like you're at an impasse in life where you are struggling to know who's in control, if anyone. It's all a bit up in the air. You're a bit rudderless, if you don't mind me saying.
Thanks. Yeah.
You don't know whether or not to behave well or badly.
I know that I should behave well, but I'm just sickened and disappointed and angry that the bad people seem to win all the time.
And I've got some breaking news for you, Joe.
Is there anything about conga lines?
There is.
This is the thing that people dream about regularly, that it's got its own sort of defined meaning.
So you've got no grip on direction in life. You're a struggle between good and evil. And now we get to the conga line.
Conga line, yeah.
To dream of people that dance in a conga line. I can't believe this is actually a thing.
Well, no, this is weird, though. I mean, I'm not sure how many people have ever dreamt of a conga line, but there must be enough that have enabled someone to come up with a meaning for it.
To dream of people that dance in a conga line represents your necessity to unite an activity or to reduce the lack of something in your life. A conga line means convocation. I don't know what convocation means. To take or learn on what others make or say. If you dream of people that dance in a conga line in an illuminated square, you will be able to overcome with the help of a technical limitation in your work.
Right, hang on. We need this. Let's break this down. So let's go through that just very slowly. So what's the first bit again?
To dream of people that dance in a conga line represents your necessity to unite to an activity or reduce the lack of something in your life.
Well, maybe it's to unite. You know, I've just said that I get very angry by the fact that there isn't unity. There's good and there's bad. Maybe it's that desire to unite that I want a global flag, Ben. I want a global flag. I don't want national flags planted in the moon or anywhere. That's unity. That's what all I'm about. I think I've found my meaning in life. It's conga lines.
Trev, I just wanted to talk to you about a politician, but before anyone turns us off, I'm not going to bring this into a sort of left or right thing. I just want to talk about one person's string of what I would consider, I don't know, bad luck. It would be charitable. Incompetence would be accurate.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll do my best to respond in a impartial manner.
Rishi Sunak.
Oh, for fuck's sake. How am I supposed to be impartial here?
He's just had such a string of poor judgment. And I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about political decisions. I'm talking PR.
Oh, I mean, have you seen that thing? You might go on to mention this anyway, but do you see the video of him sort of saying, I've got lots of posh friends. I don't have any working class friends.
I haven't seen that. I think I might have heard of that. Was that also when he was saying sort of sod those poor areas that have been reduced?
No,
they'll redirect the money to the posh bits.
No, I think to be fair, I think to be fair, when he was talking about not having any working class friends, I think he's being interviewed. He was 19 years of age and right. He was being interviewed for something. I don't know what it was, but it kind of did the rounds, maybe unfairly, because he probably didn't have any working class friends. He's not from that sort of background. And at 19, perhaps he hadn't been anywhere where he would mix with work. So to be fair, it's probably likely, but it didn't do him any favours, put it that way.
I think what he desperately needs, and I hate to sort of help him out, he needs someone working class on his payroll. Because what he's got is he's surrounded himself with people who have ideas which they think will make good PR, but no one's run it by the working class.
Yeah.
Because a working class person would say, no, don't do that. That's a terrible idea.
So how old is Rishi Sunak now? Do we know? I'll look it up otherwise if you're not sure how old he is.
I'm not sure. Tragically, I'd assume he's about my age.
He's 42.
He's close to your age.
So he's had 23 years to find some working class friends, and he's not bothered. So you'd have thought by now he might have had some working class friends who might have been some help with the situation he now finds himself in.
Well, so I know this first example is quite old news, but there is the thing of him trying to look all man of the people going to a petrol station. And he ended up having to borrow someone's car, work out how to put petrol in it, because obviously it's not something he's concerned himself with in the past.
No.
Then he had to pay for it, and he goes inside the petrol station waving a contactless card around like it's a magic wand. And he eventually rests it up against the Perspex glass, like against the barcode scanner, thinking, well, this must be it. And made himself look ridiculous. The latest thing is, you know the old thing you try and do to a politician to test if they're out of date is you say, how much is a pint of milk?
Yeah.
Well, someone tried this similar vein of questioning with Rishi to sort of test him out. And they asked him, what's your go-to McDonald's menu item? And rather than be honest, and I know the concept of honesty to any politician of any side is beyond them, but he just decided to bullshit. And he said, whenever me and my daughters go to McDonald's, we always enjoy the breakfast wrap.
Right.
Now you may be thinking, Ben, what's wrong with that?
What is wrong with that?
Well, the fact is that the breakfast wrap was...
it was a terrible 1990s song.
It ceased to be on the menu during the start of the pandemic.
Right.
So he put his foot in it there, and then his PR team, his dreadful PR team, came rushing to his defence. And the best they could come up with was, Rishi's a very busy man, so he hasn't seen his kids in the last 2.5 years, so, you know, very little time for McDonald's trips. And I thought... Oh, so we'll add in incompetent and bad father as well. So he's not seen his kids in 2.5 years.
I can maybe sort of understand he's a busy man, right? He might not have had time to take his kids out to a McDonald's. I don't necessarily believe it, but I could potentially understand that. What I don't understand is why don't the PR people that are around people in these sort of positions... What, I mean, surely by now, with all the gaffes there's been by people over the years, just say, if someone asks you a question you don't know the answer, say, I don't know.
I know. I just wish they would. And the problem is, they kept digging even after this. After the gaffe at the petrol station, after the gaffe with the McDonald's menu, they tried another McDonald's-based PR stunt.
Where they understand? He goes to Wimpy.
Little chef.
He goes
come
to
on.
Little chef.
they got a picture of him outside a McDonald's self-service machine with a little caption with him, you know, successfully paying with his little debit card with the caption, nailed it. And some comedian by the name of Liam Tully pointed out on social media, you've clearly not nailed it because your order has already gone through, but you're still standing there like a dipstick holding your card to the reader. Just stop. And like you say, I would have so much more respect. I swear to God, I know it probably would go down like a lead balloon in some circles. But if someone said to Rishi Sunak, hey, Rishi, what's your favourite McDonald's menu item? I'd have so much more respect for him if he said, do you really think I got a fucking McDonald's? Do you know how much money I've got? I don't got a fucking McDonald's. I'd love him so much more for that.
I mean,
maybe the money flaunting wouldn't go down well.
No.
Just to say, come on, do you think I go to fucking McDonald's?
Well, just say, you know, I might go to McDonald's case, but I don't have a favourite. Those questions are designed to make those people look idiots, and it always works, which is why those questions are always asked.
Which is why it's a good question.
Yeah, oh no, it is a good question. It is a good question in that sense. But you'd have thought, as I say, by now... The advice would be just to say, if you genuinely don't know the answer, if you genuinely don't have a... It's like when people say, you know, was it David Cameron or Gordon Brown? One of them, they were asking, you know, who's your favourite band? And they said, oh, yeah, I quite like the Arctic Monkeys. Do you really like the Arctic Monkeys? I mean, the worst one. Do you remember the worst? I mean, I only heard someone talking about this again the other day, and it brought it back to me. I don't know when exactly it was. It was either when Boris Johnson was going for the leadership of the Tories, or maybe it was for the last general election when he was asked what he does for a hobby. Do you remember what he said?
Was it something to do with making model buses?
He makes model buses out of, was it old wine crates or something, wasn't it? And you don't. Show us one then. Show us one of these models. Of course he doesn't make, fuck, he's too busy making children to make model buses. Stupid, I'll just say, well, I don't really have any, I don't really have time for hobbies. I'm too busy promoting my overinflated ego to have any proper, my hobby is me. My hobby is me. That's it. It's not making buses out of wooden crates or whatever the fuck he said. Just stupid answers.
I swear to God, I don't care who they are or what party they're, unless it's something really racist, but I don't care what party they're. If the next time we get a politician who says, I don't fucking know, what are you asking me that for? I don't pay for my own milk. What are you talking about? I'd vote for them just for the sheer honesty of them.
I think also politicians who've been in government, particularly ministers, once they've been in that for a while, their reality is so different to anyone else. I remember hearing I think it might have been Virginia Bottomley, right, who was part of the Conservative government before 1997 when Labour got in. So, and they, you know, they'd been in a long time by that point, 18 years, wasn't it? And I remember seeing her interviewed, and she'd been a minister for quite a while. And she said, once we'd got out of power and, you know, it all kind of settled down, she said, I went on holiday for a few days and I was in the hotel and I was just standing by the lift and someone came along and said, oh, it might have been her husband or someone said, you've got to press the button. And she said, I've been out of that. I'd always had someone to push the button for me. That's all got to stop, hasn't it? You push your own fucking lift button. You don't need someone to do that. I know you might be in a position of authority, but you can push your own lift button. I'd like to think if I was in that position, I wouldn't need someone to push lift buttons for me. I'd like to think that's something I could still do on my own.
You'd hope so. That question journalistically is just a trap, because who on earth is going to even think, oh, that person pushes their own lift button. I'll vote for them. Oh, you know what? You know, that Rishi Sunak, he knows how much 2 pints of milk's worth.
Yeah.
I'll vote for him. If that's your reason for voting for someone, then you really must be a simpleton.
Yes, I mean, there's got to be more reason to vote for someone as to whether they know what their favourite McDonald's meal is.
Or can operate a lift.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast.
The evil has landed.
It's the end of the podcast, Ben.
Oh, thank God.
Before we go, a couple of recommendations for you this week. I've just binge-watched the second series of a brilliant drama. The first series was on 2 years ago on BBC One called The Secrets She Keeps, and it was about a woman who had kidnapped a baby.
That sounds a bit intense.
It is quite intense, and the second series picks up where the first series left off. I didn't know there was going to be a second series, so I was quite excited when I saw it, and I watched it all in one day, just binge-watched it. I think if you've not seen the first series, go back, binge-watch that first.
Okay.
That's my advice. Talking of series that I'm excited about, to throw this one in, you know I like Endeavour, the series Endeavour, which is about the young Inspector Morse. I don't know why you're laughing, Ben.
You're never making it out of this galaxy at all, are you?
This is exciting news, Ben.
Okay.
So I thought the last lot had been on telly, that was it, because I knew it was coming to an end. I thought, oh, that's it, it's all finished. There was even a lovely line in it, which I thought, oh, that's sort of a nice wrap-up of the whole thing, because Endeavour walked out of a building and it had been snowing, and he says, oh, it's beginning to thaw. And I thought, oh, lovely reference to John Thor, who played Inspector Morse. I thought, what a lovely line. Just a little subtle line. Anyway, I saw on Twitter this week that they've just finished filming on the final ever episode. So it does mean there's a couple, at least, new episodes to come.
Well, I'm thrilled for you.
Oh, so excited, Ben. I can't wait for that. Although, I say I can't wait, there's a bit of me that thinks, I don't want it to end, so let's hold it off. And then when it comes, it'll be something to savour.
Well, I'm so pleased for you.
Jesus. The other thing I want to recommend to you is a documentary on Netflix. It's called Running with the Devil. Now, this is really interesting because it's about John McAfee. Now, do you remember I watched a documentary about him a while back?
Yeah, I was surprised at how interesting that guy is.
It's called Running with the Devil, The Wild World of John McAfee. It kind of picks up almost from where that first documentary left off. And it just gets weirder and weirder. The bloke was an absolute fruit loop. There's no doubt in my mind he was just paranoid, mad. It's just weird.
All right. Well, there's a good reason to give it a go.
It's well worth a watch because I mean, the first documentary, there are elements of that. I'm sure you remember certain elements I talked about at the time about his particular fetishes, shall we say.
Yes, I remember.
It doesn't have any of that in it, but you sort of think it can't get much weirder than that. And then this one, he's just weird. Anyway, it's on Netflix, well worth a watch. So there we are, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.